Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Father, I pray right now that every word spoken goes into our hearts, that we receive what we need today to stand in this hour. I break off a spirit of fear on the people. I break off contention. I break off distractions. And Lord, I release your perfect plan and perfect way for every born-again believer that knows you, that they know your voice and they know how to stay tucked into you during the season and speak what needs to be spoke and release what needs to be released in the due season, Lord, in perfect time. In Jesus' name, amen. So welcome, welcome for those that are joining in. I'm not Holly. I'm Lori. Holly's got the night off. She's here. But I woke up today and I knew I was supposed to do Facebook Live. And of course, I didn't say anything. And then I talked to Holly later and she's like, are you supposed to do Facebook Live? And I said, yeah. So here I am. You guys get me tonight. Yay. And I'm kind of excited about it because the Lord's been talking to me. I've really been spending a lot of time just resting in him and listening to his wise counsel. And I've had a lot of questions, and he's been speaking so kindly and beautifully to me about the season that we're in and how to be prepared and how to stand and not be moved or distracted by the craziness that's happening right now. And for me, one of the things he told me was to study the book of Proverbs. So I've been in Proverbs and loving it. It's, you know, the word is so fresh and alive and full of life. And as I'm reading Proverbs, I'm thinking of how many people have never even had the opportunity to open the word or be tutored by the Holy Spirit through the word. And as the days are upon us, we really need to know what God's word says. And Proverbs makes it pretty clear on how to live for God and in wholeness and in love and righteousness. And of course, it's only by the help of the Holy Spirit, as our best is not good enough. And so thank you for Jesus who provided the way and for the voice of the Holy Spirit who leads and guides us in all truth. And so anyway, as I've been praying and watching the change in the season that we're in, I'm actually excited about it. You know, some people are like, how can you be excited about what's going on? Because I'm excited because I'm seeing what God's doing. I'm purposely choosing. Now, listen, I'm purposely choosing not to pay attention to the distractions of the enemy who's trying to throw sand at our face and get us in a little fight with nonsense. We are believers. We have the authority of the written word, and we're to proclaim truth into the earth. And so we're kingdom citizens. We're born again. Our citizenship is in heaven. We live on earth, but we rule and reign from the earth, from the heavenly realms into the earth. And so if we are caught up in all the stuff that the enemy is doing, it's hard to be proactive because we're in reaction mode. And so for me, I am choosing by the grace and the help of the Holy Spirit to stay tucked in and speak the truth into the earth of God's word. And I am watching the Red Sea part. I'm watching God make a way where in man's eyes there is no way. And that's the God I serve. And that's the God who has provided the path. I live in life and abundance. And every believer has a choice to choose life or death. And I am choosing life today. And I'm hoping by God's grace I choose life again tomorrow and the next day. I live that old dead life of corruption, and I don't want any part of it. And I'm not saying I'm turning a blind eye to it, but I'm not going to get in a mudslinging fight. There's more power in the spirit than there is by somebody who's in a cat fight. And so You know, I found myself singing today, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And I get giddy as a kid because it's really his battle. We're just agents. We're just soldiers of God who are coming alongside of what his word says, and we're releasing it. And yeah, some people will not like it. And there's going to be Christians who do not like it. And, you know, the world has deception in it because it's a fallen world. But we are not of the world, so we can walk in the blessings and choose to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so I'm just going to encourage you a couple things. Those that know me, I'm always scanning the room, doing checks and saying, okay, I see somebody's a little caught up on too much Facebook or a little focusing too much on everything that's being canceled. I want to recalibrate or help you recalibrate your thought processes tonight. And I want you to focus, instead of on what is being taken away, I want you to focus on what Jesus provided through the cross. I want you to focus on the love of God and how he sent his son to redeem us. He redeemed us from the curse, from lack, from the brokenness, from destruction. He sent his son to pay the ultimate price for our freedom and our victory, to be whole in God. And so along the journey, sometimes people get sideswiped or off track, and it's happened to me. And so I'm going to challenge you to ask the Holy Ghost, where are we today and what are we doing? And do a recalibration of your life with God. You know, I was in Romans 12 before the service tonight, and I was like, Lord, and he said, Romans 12, and I went to it, and he's talking about presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. And, you know, I'm just going to read it because it's so great, okay? I'm just going to read a couple of verses of this. So I'm in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I'm just going to stop there. You know, and I'm thinking about sacrifices. You know, I remember, you know, it's a living sacrifice. So there's times when it gets hot, and or you might get distracted and you start to crawl off the altar, or things might heat up and you're like, I'm not so sure I signed up for this. I want to encourage you to remember your first love. Do you remember when you met Jesus? Do you remember when you heard the good news? And it was like the first time you drank the living water, and your whole being came alive, and it was like the too good to be true gospel, because it was so fresh and new and the best news you ever heard in your life. And I want to remind you that the gospel is the same, and it really is good news. And but there's this thing called the death process that you know, we have to go through. It's not just about saying the sinner's prayer and, you know, hello, I'm talking to you out there. It's not just about getting saved and getting, you know, into the kingdom. It's about occupying till he comes. It's about dying to yourself and your ideas and letting him be Lord. And so there's a great battle going on, and it's really about lordship. Who are you going to serve? And so Romans 12 talks about presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. And for me, this has to be done like daily, sometimes more than once a day, depending on the day. And it's easier to make this decision in the quiet place. And when you make this decision, you're trusting that God is God and he knows best and you know nothing. And whatever he says, his ways are right. His ways are higher. And when you make that decision, there's when you lay upon the altar and surrender yourself to him, the transaction that happens in the spirit realm is full of resurrection life. But what happens in the natural is there's this burning off. There's this coming apart of your old structures and old ways. And I'm reminded of Matthew, you know, what's your foundation? What's your house built on? You know, is it built on your plans, or is it built on the Word of God and what God has said for you? And so with this living sacrifice thing, I know many people have said, yes, I want to serve the Lord. I'm dying to myself, and I'm going to die is to gain for Christ, and, you know, His ways are higher, and I want to do this. But there's something that happens along the way, and it's marvelous at one point, but at the same time, the flesh, which is corrupt, does this thing, and it's sometimes it tries to resurrect itself and be Lord over itself again. And for some, and so what I'm seeing right now is some people are laying on the altar and they're like, Lord, I want to live for you. My ways are dead. Whatever you say, I will do. I want to love like you. I want to live like Jesus lived. I want to help the broken, the lost. I want to do what you want me to do. And along the way, the enemy tries to get you to get off that altar. And truthfully, you live on the altar. You know, you live there. And you occupy from the heavenly realms into the earth, but it's by the Spirit of the living God and not your ways. And what I'm seeing in the season that we're in, I'm seeing some saints who have made this decision wholeheartedly, climbed up on the altar and have been laying there and communing with the Lord. And some are being commissioned at this very moment to, they're being sent out to different areas, different assignments. And through the equipping of those dark hours on the altar, you know, that's when the stuff gets poured in. That's when you come out of that and you go, oh, that's what that was from and for, and I see now. But you can't get that without going there. And what I've seen is a lot of people try to mimic or fake the death process. And you know, I'm just going to tell you something. Death smells. And when you're not dead, there's a scent that that emanates, or, you know, that you throw off like a fragrance. And so, and it's called the flesh. And there's this clashing going on because the enemy wants the flesh to rule and reign, to make Jesus work, which he did, be effortless or void, but it'll never be void because it's full of power and life. And so, what I'm trying to say is some of you were on the altar and you got distracted and you came off because you didn't see or feel or it wasn't what you expected. But I want to tell you that there is no greater sacrifice than yourself to the King, to God the Father. You know, He has everything and He created everything, but what He wants is your heart. He wants you to be a living sacrifice for Him. He wants you to be a pure and holy vessel, which He will use for His good pleasure when He chooses. And for some people, we think, oh, well, maybe I should be used right now. Well, it's His choice when to use and when to put us back on the shelf. And that's part of being pliable and workable and trustworthy. It actually is building trust in the Spirit that you do know that He knows best. And so for some, I see a commissioning coming forth where great boldness and lots of proclamations will be spoken forth, and you're going to impact this earth realm for God's glory, and you're going to save the lost and the broken. And I see you pulling people out of prisons. And when I see the prisons, I'm not talking like jail cells. I'm talking darkness and bondage. That were their cages from the enemy that are for destruction. And I see other people who came off the altar a little too premature. You're not done yet. And if this is you, I just pray Holy Ghost be the one that convicts you and or awakens you to go back, climb back up there, because there's a purpose for this. And, you know, I'm thinking of Psalm 91. You know, we get to abide in the secret place of the shadow of the Almighty God, where He protects us. And when you die to yourself, there's a protection that comes upon a supernatural protection that comes upon you that it's hard to give it English words, but you just know that you're his and nothing's going to harm you. And if it does, you're going to be home soon anyway, and it's going to be a blink of the eye. And it just means that your assignment is finished on earth. Death should have no sting. You know, I remember before I knew the Lord, I was afraid of death. I was afraid because I didn't know God, and I didn't know anything about salvation. So I was a little nervous about it. But, you know, there's a scripture that death has no sting, and it doesn't. I've already died to this world and found great victory and joy in the fellowship of my King and my Lord. And along the way, the lower I go, the more I don't know how much I thought I knew. And we're going to see a lot of this right now. I really feel like the ones that think they knew or have a clue of what's going on, you know, you only get that from the secret place. You can't get that from secondhand prophecy or what you heard in a church service or a YouTube video. You can get somebody's perspective, and it might be the Lord. And a lot of times it might, I'm not going to say a lot of times, but sometimes it is the Lord. But the Word of God is true. And it's so sure and so right and full of life and the path. You know, there's a pathway that leads to righteousness, and it's found in the Word of God. And when you make the decision that you will have no other gods besides the Lord Jesus Christ, the battle is really won. It's just walking it out with Him in fellowship. And what I see happening right now with the shaking and, you know, the craziness that's going on is there's just a lot of idolatry out there, and there always has been, but it's being exposed at a greater level, you know. And if it all burned up today, what difference would it really make? It's all about souls. It's about saving the lost. It's not about who was right or who was wrong, because really only God is right. His word is true, and every man is a liar, you know. And I say that because, you know, God is looking for childlike faith. He's looking for His kids to come home into His lap, sit with Him and fellowship with Him, with the book that He wrote, with the book that many people lost their lives for. Let's not forget that. Many people went through great trials and tribulations so that we could have the living word in writing. And, you know, some of you use digital form. I'm just going to tell you, get a hard copy of the Word of God. It might bless you to sit there in your chair and get your highlighter out again and read through some of the Word and ask the Lord to teach you what it really means. Ask Him to show you the areas that He wants to open or areas that He wants to change or grow in your life. Because He's all about the multiplication of His Word. And everything He does is, well, it's already done. It's just us coming into position in Him. And so, you know, I'm really excited about the season that we're in. In the natural, if I wanted to go down that path, I could be crabby and, you know, why? But you know what? That's a work of the flesh, and it's not going to profit anything. And so I'm choosing to choose life today. I'm choosing to believe that God's word is a powerful, powerful force to be reckoned with. And when we speak it out loud, we are engaging, we are commissioning, we are proclaiming God's word into the earth. And that's what changes things. It's by faith. And so the season we're in, you know, I see a lot of people waiting on the sidelines, but not with their coach, the Holy Ghost. I see them waiting on the sidelines to see what's going to happen. Listen, get in. Get your sweatsuit on and start doing some spiritual exercises. There's a lot of distractions right now. And, you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, the 10 virgins. And I'm just going to tell you, we have to keep our oil filled. We have to keep our oil filled. And the only way, you can't buy it. The only way to get it is straight from him. And you know, if you could buy it, somebody would have shorted the system and tricked it all out, and it would be a work of flesh. It's not. It's a work of power by the Holy Spirit, and he's calling us to fill our vessel, to fill our oil. And I'll never forget, I was at an Amish store last summer. I went into this Amish store, you know, and they use oil for their lamps. They don't use electricity, most of them. And I wish I would have had my cell phone with, but I was kind of on a little bit of a break and not using my phone much. And there was in the corner, they were selling oil, and it said, buy your oil here. And I laughed because I knew the Lord was talking to me. And sometimes he'll make a joke, and it was kind of like a joke, but really it was like, that's the condition of a lot of the body of Christ. You can't buy it. You can't get it from Facebook. You can't get it from the only way you can get it is straight from him. And so I'm encouraging you to look at Romans 12:1. Romans 12, read the book of Romans 12. The whole chapter is really good. It talks about not paying back evil for evil. You know, there's so much in there. It's godly wisdom for the season that we're in. And I'm probably going to teach more on it Wednesday night. We're going to be at the Swinghurst Room Wednesday night. It's going to be good to be back there. For those of you that are local, come on out to Wisconsin, to Lake Geneva, to Grand Geneva Resort, 7 o'clock, Swinghurst Room. And, you know, we love the fellowship and wait on the Holy Ghost, you know, and be led by what he's doing. And so anyway, present yourself a living sacrifice. And the other thing I want to talk about, I feel like I started to mention this, but I feel like the season that we're in, it's always supernatural. There's never, oh, it's a natural. No, it's always supernatural. It's always full of life. And I'm reminded of Moses was, you know, when they were at the Red Sea, when they were just at the Red Sea, and it looked bad. I mean, the Egyptians were coming after them. They changed their mind. They were going to go get them. And Moses crying out to God, you know, and God's saying, hey, Moses, lift your staff and speak, you know. So, hey, y'all, lift your staff and speak. And here's the thing. Go in faith. I love faith as a child because if I try to figure out what's going to happen or could this be this or what about A, B, and C, listen, I am a kid of God's. He's going to take care of me even if I blow it, but I'm going to move in faith always. And I know one thing. We all have been, you know, we all have had the same measure of faith. One didn't get more, one didn't get less, but you can develop and grow faith and, you know, through hope and through the word and through your imagination. And so I am imagining the good things. I am seeing the Red Sea part, and I am seeing the enemy get swallowed up, and I am seeing the spoils from the enemy, and I am seeing the lost. I am seeing the broken and the deceived coming into the kingdom of God. And when they come in, I'm seeing them like the prodigal son, the story where they're clothed and loved on. And you know, because deception's deception. People don't know willingly. A lot of them don't really know that they've been deceived. They've just bought, you know, they went down the wrong path. And so I really feel like there's going to be a splitting of the Red Sea where it's going to be, and we need to be ready for it. I'm seeing the splitting of the Red Sea, so to speak, where, you know, it looks like it's going to be bad, but the warriors, the believers, the little kids that have been hanging out with God are going to raise their staff, and they're going to raise that standard of God and say, no, this is so, and they're going to move forth, and we're going to see a huge, I'm seeing like a huge avalanche or tidal wave of God's glory break through. Because truthfully, that's what changes hearts. That's what brings people to God. It's not me saying, you know, you're a sinner, repent, or, you know, you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. It's the move of God and the love of God. The compassion of God has a way of wooing people with just one look. It has a way of knowing your inside, your whole life with one look. It can read you inside and know every little secret of you, but not judge. but set you free in a moment. And that is what we're going to see. We're going to see the loss coming in massive amounts. And, you know, we're also going to see, hey, that's a quarter piece. That's worth a quarter. We're also going to see great signs and wonders. But I want to warn you, you know, we're in the end days. We're going to see false signs and wonders too. And so if you're not hanging out with him, will you be the one that's deceived? And how will you not be deceived? I'm going to tell you, get in the Word, drink up on the Holy Ghost, whatever he's serving that day, and be led by him, and don't be swayed by the distractions. Don't be swayed by what your neighbor's telling you. You know, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there. This is going to touch on some buttons, I'm pretty sure. Listen, I want to tell you something. When I was young and foolish, I remember Y2K. You remember that? Oh my gosh, it's going to turn over the year 2000. Nothing's going to work. Y2K came and went, and we had power the next day. There's always somebody going to sell a conspiracy theory. That's how they make their money. It's called propaganda. And there's been conspiracy theories, well, forever. But I am choosing to believe God's word instead of some person who told something, and half the time they won't even say who they are. As so-and-so said, this is secret information. Listen, you want some secret information? Go into the closet, shut the door, and get it from the Holy Ghost. And he never serves up fear. He never serves up conspiracy. He always serves up love, hope, and joy, and blessings. And if you spend time with him, there's this thing called, it's a kingdom principle, seed, time, and harvest. When you spend time with him, when you sow into him, above and beyond any of the other stuff, even if you're doing dishes, you know, you got little kids, and, you know, you just can't seem to get that time away with the Lord, you know, you got kids, you're tired, you fall asleep early. Listen, when you're doing dishes, spend 1 second and just worship him. That places a draw on the Spirit, and more gets done in that 1 second than you'll ever get out of a devotional or, you know, whatever. I'm just telling you, when you connect with the Father, when you connect with the Holy Ghost, when you connect with Jesus, when your spirit connects to the Spirit of the living God, it feeds you. And if your heart's desire is to not be distracted, or I struggled with distraction forever. In fact, the Lord reminded me, you know, I've been home for like a week. We've traveled and I've been back, and we're just resting and recuperating from traveling. And I'm actually reading a lot right now and enjoying the slowed down time I'm in. And the Lord reminded me before I was saved, I would buy a book. I'd look at the title, but I would never open the book. And for some reason, I thought I was going to get the information out of that book if I just bought the book. And in my flesh dwells no good thing. I know that. And I laughed at it because I remember I used to buy the stuff or buy a magazine. I remember buying psychology magazines when I was young and in business, and with the intention of reading it, and I would never find the time. And I was thanking him today because my heart's desire is to carve time out to be with him. And there's a million things that call our attention every day. But I was sitting with him today and I was thanking him for answering my heart's desire to know him. Now, do I know him completely? Absolutely not. And do I blow it? Yeah, every day I blow it. Should I be with him more? Yeah. But you know what? I'm not going to measure myself by the world standards or some standard that I think it should be. I have learned that whatever happens, he's my dad, and he's proud of me. He never shuns me. He never hurts me. Even when he's correcting me, he does it in such love that it actually brings encouragement where I want to change. And my frustrations, I've cried out to him in my pillow or in my car or you know, walking on a trail. Lord, you got to deliver me. I'm still dealing with this stuff. But here's the thing. I keep showing up, and it's only because the Holy Ghost inside of me He's the Spirit of Truth. He leads and guides us into all truth. He's going to find a way to show us, because that's who he is. He's good. And he knows that our hearts are deceitfully wicked, and that we don't have a chance without him. And so I come before him and say, listen, I can't do anything. You know, I used to think, well, I could do some things. I've learned it's not true. That's pride, and it's flesh, and it profits nothing. But there's this thing, and I mentioned it earlier, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. And when you connect with not by might, not my way, I'm going to do it no matter what, I'm going to get this thing done, I'm going to exercise no matter what, or I'm forcing this to get in. But when you say, listen, Lord, you know me, I try, my heart is to want to do it, but here I am again, I fell short again. When you come to him like that, you know, he'll point out if it's a stronghold or a false belief system or an inner vow that you've spoken, and so easily it'll get unhooked, and the pipe gets a little cleaner, and the journey gets a little steadier, so to speak. And so, I just want to encourage you to spend some time and ask him, what are we working on today? What, you know, and he might say, don't work on nothing. I just want you to worship me. Well, that would be a blast. And, you know, or he might say, you know, write down Romans, or, you know, speak out loud, or go visit so-and-so. Just be led. And that's the thing. Some people say, well, I don't hear his voice. I can't tell if it's the enemy or if it's God. Listen, let me tell you a couple things that really helped me. The enemy, he's the accuser, right? He only has corrupt things to say, basically. He's an accuser, he's a liar, he's a thief. And so when he speaks, I can recognize that voice because it sounds condemning, or it sounds judging, or hurtful, or just, it doesn't have life in it. It's full of death and heaviness. And if you can hear that voice, you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. He's the quieter one. He's the one. You just need to turn the dial in. And how you do that is say, Holy Spirit, I want to hear your voice. Will you help me turn this dial so I can hear you? And then you open up the Word of God and let him speak. And he will speak through the Scriptures. And you'll be like, oh my gosh, Holy Ghost just said that to me through the Word. And you'll know it. There'll be like a quickening in your spirit. And then an excitement and an explosion, because that's how he is. And I'm telling you, I feel like we need to start exercising and developing a stronger relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're in a season where we should be practicing, what is he saying today? You know, go to the grocery store? Okay, then you go. Oh, buy a banana and you weren't even thinking about bananas? Buy it. You never know. Your neighbor may call and say, hey, I need a banana. Do you have one? And say, well, yes, I do. You know, I remember pulling into, years ago, I pulled into a rental house I had, and I had a trailer on the back of my car. And I just heard this faint, don't pull in. And I almost ignored it, but I stopped. And if I would have ignored it and pulled in, I would have bottomed out the jack on the trailer. And God, you know, the Holy Spirit is trying to lead and guide us in everything and always have life. And so it's the little things. And for some people who struggle with listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to tell you to chill. Just relax. Throw it out there. I want you to talk to me. And, some people have a hard time with quieting their thoughts. I remember some of the most amazing words, you know, I'd ask the Holy Spirit a question, wouldn't hear nothing. 2 days later, I'd be brushing my teeth, and all of a sudden, there he was. There was the answer, and it was like, oh my gosh, that was brilliant. Thank you. And I knew it was him. And so I would thank him. And so one thing I would say is never worry if you're going to hear. Believe. See, you have to believe that he will speak to you. And when you believe, you will hear. And it doesn't matter what time or where, he'll let you know. Just trust him. And this is how you build trust. You say, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask a question, and I'm going to believe that he's going to tell me. And then if you believe, that's faith. And then all of a sudden, there it is. And so I want to encourage you with that. And then I also want to tell you about a time I had a bunch of questions. I was going through a season. It was a tough season. Hanging on the altar, dying to a lot of dreams. And I really needed some direction in my life. A lot of it had to do with finances and just direction on what I'm supposed to do. And so I went away with the Lord for, I think it was 3 days. I had my notebook, and I wrote out the questions that I needed to hear answers on, and I lit a fire, and I was expecting him to answer them all, like in 5 minutes. And I didn't hear nothing. And I was like, wow. And so I just started worshiping him and resting. I rested because I didn't realize how worn out I was. If you go through stressful life changes, it actually does something to your body. And sometimes it's important just to rest and get some sleep. And so I did a lot of resting and sleeping. And on the very last day, the hour before I was going to leave, and I actually thought, I wonder if I'm not supposed to know this stuff. And I sat down, and I remember the hour before I left, I was worshiping. And all of a sudden, he answered every question. And I wrote them all out, and I was just like, wow. I just loved that he, even though I needed to rest, he still, once I was rested, that's when he told me what the next thing was in my life that he wanted me to do. And so, you know, I look back at those journals now, and I have great memories with him, and I think, you know, there's nobody like the Holy Spirit. I remember him giving me promises, and, you know, years ago, you know, when I was dying to stuff all my empire that I built up, and I was dying to it all, and he would make these promises to me, and I would see it in the Word, you know, I looked back. He had me go through my journals, like, oh, I don't know, about a month ago, and I looked back, and I was looking at some of the promises, and I'm like, that came true. That came to pass, and so did that, and so did that. And so his track record is 100%. Mine is not 100%. I've promised him some things and fallen short, but I don't beat myself up over it. When I recognize it, I do apologize to him, and I say, you got to help me. You got to help me. If you want me to do this, you got to help me do it. Because you know I'm not good at it, and you know that it's something I don't even like to do most of the time. But I ask him to give me a joy to do it, and he always does. And so I don't know if this is helping you or not, but I want to. I feel like the thing about Moses and parting the Red Sea, I feel like that's important for right now. I feel like there's like the pause button, and in the spirit, and that's, it's something I'm spending time with the Lord, because as I see where we're going, we have to be ready, and some of us are not ready for the miraculous. We're still, you know, looking out the window, wondering what's going on, and I'm just going to encourage you to get in the game, get in to the army of God. And get your marching orders, and then start practicing. What I mean by that is build up your spiritual muscles. This is a great time to be in the kingdom of God. This is a great time to be born for such a time as this. You were handpicked by God for this season in history. You were handpicked. And some of you are like, well, I don't know about that. Listen, God knows. He ordained the hair on your head. He knows your whole life story, and he picked you because he wants you to be in his army. And so I encourage you to get up, dust off yourself, and then crawl on the altar, present yourself a living sacrifice. And for those of you who are like, well, what does that look like? How does that work? You know, I've done it more than once where it's been like... I don't even like to talk about it because it's so personal, but, you know, there's times in my life where I have, you know, laid out on the floor and just cried out and you know, just surrendered everything again to him. And just like my first love, just like when I met him, just like when I heard the good news that there really is a God and he's alive and wants relationship with us now. That he sent his son to redeem us from the earth curse system and to give us life and abundance and every good thing. When I heard that, you know, there was this like shaking going on because I had to untangle myself from the world and my man-made world. But I'm going to tell you something. The best way is to lay on the altar and say, Lord, I give you my life. Do with me as you will. I present myself as a living sacrifice for your goodness, for your kingdom, for your glory. Have your way with me. I say yes to whatever you want. I'll kill anything you want. And that means dreams and your agenda and your ways. And when you put him first, that's right order in the kingdom of God. And what happens is when the enemy comes and pushes on you, you're dead. There's no, it's not going to hurt. Yeah. So, and what happens is when you go through this process, when you lay yourself down, what ends up happening is you pick up his resurrected life, his resurrection power, and his package, his goods. And it's no longer you, but it's Christ living through you. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful journey to walk in with the Father. And many won't do it, but I pray that you'll be one that lays down your life, your agenda, and says, Lord, do with me as you will. And maybe tomorrow you wake up and you forget. Well, get back on the floor again and do it again. And ask him to quicken your heart and to teach you his ways and to show you his kingdom and stay in the word and tune out Facebook, tune out, the videos of the doom and gloom. And I'm not saying be ignorant to the schemes of the enemy, but don't get tangled up in it. There's a difference. I watch just a little bit of news to know the sway or the wind of the world. But I'm not going to, for one thing, it's not my call to go down the path of that stuff. My call is to encourage and equip the body of Christ and to save the lost, pull them out of the fire if they can be pulled out, and to release the good news and heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. Hallelujah. And help others do the same. And so, so for me, I'm choosing to believe that we're going to see huge victory. Anytime it looks bad in the natural, like, oh, there's a storm coming, don't look at the storm. Look at the kingdom and what he's saying. Look at what God's word says and speak that. I remember hearing Edgar years ago. I used to help them on Friday afternoons. I'd come over and I'd do yard work or whatever needed to be done around here, and Holly would be working at her secular job, and Edgar would be here at the house, and I would ask him to tell me another story. And that man walked in power and lots of miracles, and I would love to hear the stories that he would tell me. And I'll never forget one of the stories he told me was about, he was having a tent meeting. I don't know the state, but a big old storm started to come. It was like a tornado or something, and the tents were flapping, and I may miss some of the story. But the part I remember is he rebuked that storm. He commanded it to go, and it left. And he could have chose to look at the news and, oh, no, we better cancel. No, he spoke to that thing and said, go in the name of Jesus, and it left. It didn't touch down anywhere near there. And that's the authority that we have, and that's the power that we walk in. And that's why it's important to choose life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Choose life. And blessings and curses. Anytime we speak, we should be very slow to speak because we carry power to split rocks. I'm thinking of the scripture, the scripture Mark, where you can speak to the mountain and cast it into the sea. Well, hello, that's true. And so what's the mountain in your life today? What needs to be spoke to? Because everything happens through the word. So friends, I encourage you to speak life. I hope this blesses you. I hope this gives you a charge to go lay down and hang with the Holy Spirit and just surrender. Some of you have kids out there that are hanging on you in the spirit, and what I mean by that is when I say kids, I'm not talking little kids. I'm talking 34-year-olds, and you're still bringing them food in their bedroom because you've been trained to serve them. And I know, listen, you know, I want you to know how much God loves you and how much God loves your kids. But you're praying for God to do something. You're praying for change to take place, but yet you're still feeding the demon behind your kid. So I'm going to encourage you to go lay on the altar and give your kids to the Father. You've done your best with them, and just present them to the Father and say, Lord, I'm asking you to take my kids, do with them as you will. I'm asking you to breathe life into them. I'm releasing them to you. I am no longer going to hold on to and help them get dressed in the morning or look online for a job. I am going to choose to put my gaze on you. I'm going to speak life. And some of you are speaking death in your bedroom over your kids. You don't say anything in front of them, but at night when you're talking to your spouse, you're like, I wish they'd get a job. I wonder if they ever gonna blah, blah, blah. Listen, you know who hears that? The enemy and God. So break those word curses, release life over them, bless them, and then seek the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, because your own understanding is faltered. There's a fault to it, and you're seeing things through the wrong filter. So I'm going to encourage you to release those kids and let God be God. Let God be their dad and watch what happens. There'll be a shaking. There'll be a stirring. There'll be a split of the Red Sea. And I believe you're the one that's going to walk through. And it's always up. See, free will. It's always up to the person to walk through. You can't force them, but why drag them? So lighten your load and seek the kingdom of God first, because he's got a package for you that is filled with goodness. It's filled with his love. It's filled with his promises, and he wants you to take it. Alrighty? God bless you. I love you, and I'll talk to you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.